I've gotten an A in friendship, something that
Yes.
is both normal to want and possible to achieve.
I guess that could be the cold open. The cold
Hello.
I had a plan for the cold open. I've had a plan for the cold open for the next episode since like what fucking when was the last time we recorded? April, since we had a very sudden un not really sudden, because I don't know, I feel I was complaining about being tired a lot while recording for a bit.
Listen,
But long unplanned absence.
we apologize for the long unplanned absence. We do this for free. We have day jobs and
We have day jobs and health issues.
yeah, we have day jobs, and I was going through my laundry list of disabilities at the beginning of our call, and how I can't get them to just like have a round table and agree to not make each other worse. I don't know if anyone wants to send me funds for a hysterectomy, knock two psychiatrists' head together so they can agree on what ADHD medication to subscribe me and buy me a new spine, just hit me up, yo. If you want to do it yourself with anything from a scalpel to a mostly clean pizza cutter, I'm open to that also. Open surgery with no anesthetic and anti-inflammatory
Please,
is
please,
fine,
please
right?
stop saying this.
Okay. Do we have warnings for this episode on
We
that?
certainly do. This episode's gonna we're gonna bring up kidnapping of women and rape again. Fun stuff.
Cool. It's a Sunday, sleepy afternoon as we record this. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping.
This is really putting a downer on the joke I was going to make. Trying to find a way to segue into it, which was just to say, MJ, I don't think I'm beating the autism allegations.
No shit.
Yeah, I think I'm
I
gonna.
mean, congratulations.
I think I shared with this with you already, but I've been trying to get an ADHD diagnosis, and like while I was literally doing the interview for it, the doctor like brought up the idea of me being autistic. They are frequently comorbid.
They are very comorbid, so and anyone seeking a diagnosis for either, when you're shopping around and do shop around,
Oh, I should have
make
shopped around.
sure.
I should probably still just go private because the public. I was waiting a year to get an appointment in the public service, and it got delayed. And then I had an appointment, got brought back for a second appointment, and they were like, "Oh, we assumed a psychiatrist would be free to talk to you on this day, but we didn't clear that with him. And also, he's never free. I don't know why we said this." And then asked me to fill out a form at home, bring it back in, and then schedule another appointment for me in August. I love the public system.
I assumed a lot of privilege in talking about shopping around. You can only really access an adult autism diagnosis in Ireland through the private sector. So already looking for that diagnosis is a big indicator of privilege.
I was told by one or two people that there is a new adult ADHD service that's actually decent, but the problem is I haven't been referred to them. I got referred to like the local mental health clinic, who are dragging their ass to refer me to them.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to do so, I would highly recommend A, shopping around, and B, really looking into whatever clinician is doing the diagnosis. For many years in Ireland, at the very least, it was believed that you had either autism or ADHD. You could not have both. This has changed in recent years, and we've recognized that both are very comorbid disorders, or neurological differences. I'm tired. But as with everything, a lot of doctors either haven't really caught up or haven't fully internalized this yet. So, actually, fun fact, as Irish clinicians were very, very resistant to giving any kind of dual diagnosis except for a mental illness plus a substance abuse disorder for many, many years. Seriously, like I had a psychiatrist who did not want to refer me for an autism assessment because I already had a previous mental health diagnosis. So
You're only
things.
allowed to have one. Don't be
Yeah,
greedy.
don't be greedy. Don't leave some diagnoses for everyone else, I guess. But yeah, fun fact about any kind of medical health care, individual clinicians either sometimes aren't very caught up with the research or are caught up with the research but are very stuck in their own way of practice. So
Oh yeah, like even the fucking like I have made a point of never mentioning this or like any idea of having ADHD to the like only gender clinic that's in the Republic of Ireland because like fellas in charge of that have literally written articles in newspapers complaining about oh very concerning how many autistic people are trying to present with dysphoria, and it's very concerning and like blocking people from transitioning if they think that they are too have too much of something else going on to the point where I was seeing the fucking speech therapist that they have in that clinic. And she like kind of pointedly brought up when I was talking about dealing with some issues, she was like, oh, she was like talking about, oh, I'm very similar and I have ADHD and whatever. And like, I was sitting there like trying to get a referral for an ADHD diagnosis and just go saying to her, oh, that's interesting, and nodding my head because I was not going to like suggest to her that I might think I might have ADHD if it would, because it might go onto a file that the other fuckers in that clinic have access to.
Yeah.
And
So
yeah, and I could rant about the fucking ADHD assessment myself. Fucking no, I won't. I was very frustrated by the doctors at the local mental health clinic. Suffice to say, basically they thought I was too functional. Not necessarily that I didn't have ADHD, but I was functional and therefore don't really need medication that might help because, I can get by without it, so I'm grand.
yeah.
I have a steady employment, therefore none of the problems I have could potentially be bad enough to need medication because all that, as long as you can have a job and you're functional for the economy, that's all that you need.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I said I wasn't going to rant.
It's been
But
my
I had a
experience.
much bigger and more specific rant. That's the small version.
Yeah. Yeah. We're supposed to be doing a podcast
Yeah,
about
the
Murder
much
Monkey, but
lighter the much lighter story I was going to tell about this was I had that appointment and they also wanted to for some reason they want to ass they are insistent that it's important to assess childhood symptoms. I don't give a shit if I had symptoms as a child. I give a shit about now. I'm 34. I don't care what I was like 2 decades ago.
yeah, at
But
least the ADHD assessment doesn't demand that they talk to your parents.
They wanted to talk to someone who knew me as a child. So like from when I was like 12 or younger. So like who the fuck else am I going to go? But so I did like ask my mom for this. And again, this was meant to be the light story, so I'm trying to calm down a little bit. But yeah, I rang my mom and I was asked her, you know, I'm trying to get look go to this ADHD diagnosis. Would you mind in you know being called and talking to them about this? And her response was basically, oh yeah, she was surprised. I was worried she might be a bit taken aback by it because she reacted badly even to me being diagnosed with sleep apnea. I think she's kind of a bit of concern about her baby having any kind of health issues. But again, I'm 34. But her reaction was basically, oh yeah, that's fine. Sure. I thought you were probably on the spectrum or something like that anyway. So even my mom, the ADHD doctor, all of my autistic friends keep suggesting I'm maybe autistic. So I think I'm not being the allegations at this point.
There's as the joke goes, there's diagnosis and there's peer review.
I think that's been going around in my head, because I told this to another autistic friend, and she has been like basically just making a joke about whenever I like nerdily rambling about stuff, which I do a lot. She's like, she just keeps going, Quiva, I think you might be autistic. It's funny. It's funny to me, at least. But I don't know, I started so the idea that popped into my head was like, you know the way in A Song of Ice and Fire they have the system where any knight can knight anyone else? I think they should just replace the
Amazing.
diagnosis system so that if you're autistic, you're allowed to diagnose other people.
Yeah, I've got two suggestions. One, exactly what you mentioned, just have a conversation with a neurotypical person, a diagnosed neurotypical, of course, and then
Diagnosed neurotypical.
yeah, and then a conversation with an autistic person and observe the differences. Or because the assessment is stupid, the criteria really should be how much context you ask for on the actual questions, because they are stupid.
Oh yeah,
Because they are
God,
very, very stupid.
even the fucking when I was filling out that the I there's two forms that they asked me to fill out for the ADHD thing. One of them was like about you now, which is mostly fine, and one of them was like what you were like when you were a child, which I was already like, you know, annoyed about because I'm like I don't give a shit what I was like when I was a child, but also the questions on that were really frustrating. Because they would like have multiple questions basically as one thing and ask you to rate like a single rating, like a, you know, a scale of disagree or agree strongly or whatever. And there was someone's in particular, like one was like, were you a slow learner slash did badly in school or something like that? And I'm like,
Well, those are two distinct
those are two
questions.
completely different questions. I was a very quick learner, and I, or sorry, were you a good student? Sorry, specifically, were you a good student? A very quick learner. I was a very bad student. I would like, I'd like one specifically of like, how did you do well in maths or not? And I'm like, okay, I liked maths. I have a master's in applied maths. I liked maths in school. I would ignore my teacher and just read the book myself ahead of everyone else because I thought the teacher was taking too long to get through shit.
Yeah, I had a very similar
I wouldn't say
experience
that's a
where,
good student.
yeah, no, exactly. I was a straight A student, but I would also read ahead. Sometimes I would skip school to just go study in the library in town because, oh, fuck. the rest of it.
Oh, that
And
sounds ideal. I should have done that. I wish I was cooler. I could have done
Well, Quiver, look at me now.
that.
And I also left school with €400 in unpaid fines for smoking. I was a straight A student and a holy terror, and those two things can coexist in one person. Anyway, murder monkeys.
Murder monkeys. And thank you everyone for listening to the ADHD autism trans rant hour. I know a bunch of people with autism and ADHD, and they're trans, and they're all really cool. I think this should have been a this could have been another sign that this is just the kind of people I'm attracted to.
I wonder if there's a large neurodiverse demographic that's listening to the podcast about a 17th century Ming Dynasty novel hosted by the trans and neurodivergent people.
And I'm sure our listeners are all
This
extremely
podcast is now diagnostic criteria.
cool. No. Oh, no.
We're out here making a difference.
Yeah. God. God. Oh God, my partner, literally before started like seeing her romantically, like we were walking home from a thing in the same direction and chatting, and she ended up like she oh sorry she ended up like coming over to my house to continue chatting while I just like rambled about the ring to her. I now do a podcast about the ring, by the way, with someone else actually, but it's called the Ring Podcast. If you want to listen to that, you know, it's a love language as well, I guess. Rambling about shit.
I love my partner so very much. I would like to have them on to react to things at some point. But I went on a big rant about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and how the movie seemed like it was written by someone who did not actually read the book, because of and this could be extremely clearly seen in the character of Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Oh, because they actually made them paranoid.
No, because they iPodized him.
Oh, right. Sorry. Of
Yeah,
course. I forgot
and
about that.
he's pain in the dyads all the way down his left side, but he's as shiny and contemporary Apple as the ship, and about how and it turned into a rant about how Douglas Adams was an Apple fanboy, and this was before Steve Jobs got re-involved and made everything a closed system. At the time that Adams was writing, making everything a closed system would have been suicide, when these things were marketed more to computer nerds than as a consumer product. And that turned into a rant about, and I ended up like,
Big fight of between like Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak over that kind of stuff.
And then in Mostly Harmless, you can see Adam's just kind of getting disillusioned with many things that are just like started out as these almost gonzo-like endeavors, and then are and I had to, at this point, I bit my hand in order to stop myself from continuing because we were at minute 7 of this rant, and it was becoming one about tech and culture, and I hadn't let them talk for like a full 7 minutes, and they gently removed my hand from my own mouth, looked me in the eye, and said, "I love this and I love you. Please continue."
Aww.
It's yeah. It's been tw now it's been 20 minutes. We haven't started the
It's okay. We
we should do that. We imagine our very patient audience gently removing our hands from our mouths.
I mean,
No.
oh, come on, if they're listening after 80 episodes, I think they probably also don't mind this too much.
I hope so. We love you very much, especially Janet. Hi, Janet.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, podcast, book, chapter 80.
Yay.
They were leaving the Bixhu Kingdom last time. And they are on the road again, and you know, as happens between incidents, they're gone for on the road for a couple of months again without any major incident. And it comes around winter and winter and spring pass. It's the summer again. They've been going for fucking years at this point.
Yeah, they must have calf muscles like nobody's business. Bounce
Well,
a penny off those things.
Tripitaka is on the horse. And they come across another big tall mountain. And Tripitaka is a bit worried because this is the kind of place that they usually find monsters in. And
He's
Wukong
getting
make
genre savvy, as Tripitaka.
yeah. Wukong makes fun of him for still like being so easily I just being like easily phrased, like, oh, you don't sound like a seasoned traveler at all. I was like, well, he is a seasoned traveler, so he knows when they're about to fucking get attacked. It happens all the time, or happens regularly every few months at least.
This isn't an irrational fear. This is pattern recognition.
Baji is like, come on, we must be getting close to Buddha at this point, so there shouldn't be any trouble, you know, this close to the Thunderclap Mountain. And Tripitaka starts to get kinda sad and homesick again. He kinda wants to, you know, be done with and be back in China. And Baji suddenly is like, maybe Buddha doesn't actually want to give away the scriptures. Maybe he's like moved. Maybe he's just gone somewhere else. That's why we can't find him.
Yeah. Maybe Buddha got bored, sort of wandered away.
But they reach a thick pine forest, and Wukong starts to use his pole to clear the way. And after a while, they make camp, and Wukong is sent to go look somewhere to beg for food. So while Wukong is gone, Tripitaka sits and practices reciting some sutras when he suddenly hears a faint cry for help. And he goes to find where the call is coming from, and he finds a woman half buried in the ground, and then tied to a tree with vines.
Okay.
The first thing he asks her is what crime she committed to be tied up like this, which is, I feel, a hell of an
Of
assumption.
course. Yeah. Particularly given here be monsters who like to kidnap women a lot. This is also pattern recognition.
She says she's from the Bimbana kingdom, but her home was attacked by brigands and she was abducted. And they apparently several of the bandit leaders like got into an argument about which one wanted to like claim her and take her as a wife, and they had a big fight over it, and when they couldn't resolve it, they decided to just tie her up and leave her for dead instead.
What?
Yeah, she says she's been there for like 5 days and she's like very, very weak at this point.
Yeah, get this lady water.
Yeah. Well, Tributaka calls for Baji and Mujing and he tells them to untie her. But just as Baji starts to do that, Wukong shows back up, grabs Baji by the ear, throws him on the ground, and tells him, "Stop untying her, she's a monster, dumbass."
Also very possible. Also very reasonable.
Tripitaka is pissed off. He's like, "How could you accuse this poor girl of being a monster?" And Baji, because he's Baji, where his mind goes, he accuses Wukong of wanting to abandon her so that they can go on ahead and then he can sneak back later to have sex with her.
Well, that's a rapist opinion.
Yeah,
That's what that
yeah.
is.
Yes.
That is. I mean, I think at this point they probably should have some sort of monster recognition test that's more than just asking the question, yo, are you a monster?
I mean, the test is Wukong because he can like tell about 90% of the time.
Fair.
And
Fair.
like, so see, he has been fooled by monsters on occasion, but he's never had a false positive, as far as I can
Yeah,
remember.
he's got a real good track record on that one.
Like he's occasionally missed realizing someone is a monster, but I don't think he's ever said someone is a monster and been wrong about it.
Fair. This is true.
Wukong is just like, when the fuck have I ever done anything like that? I'm not a miserable sex-obsessed bum like you. Hey, do you remember when you tried to leave the pilgrimage to marry a fucking spirit and ended up tied up to a tree? That's you.
Yeah.
He
Yep.
fullies, yeah.
Again, this is the track record. They've known each other for years at this point.
Yeah, and Tripitaka does also finally go, okay, Wukong has been right about stuff like this before. I'll agree to this. Let's just leave her and move on. The woman is disappointed. She is a monster, by the way. She absolutely is.
Fair enough.
She's very disappointed because she has been hearing stories about the Tong monk for years.
Yeah.
As word goes around the monster community.
Yeah, he's a focal point of discussion at meetups.
Yeah,
How best to
so
cook the Tong monk?
yeah, so you know what she wants to do?
Does she want to eat
No, she wants to
Tripitaka?
fuck him.
Oh, well, that's a departure.
Yeah.
Huh. So she's
Yeah.
a groupie.
No, she still this is this she wants to do it for the same reason, because to quote, since that Tong monk has begun practicing austerities in his youth, he has never allowed his original yang to leak out, I was hoping that I could seize him and mate with him so I might become a golden immortal of the grand monad. He's so holy and he's never come, so if he comes in her, it'll make her immortal, obviously.
It's a departure. It's a new idea. Not gonna say that's I don't wanna think about whether that's better than getting eaten. That's a whole thing.
Yeah,
We don't
sorry.
no, let's not you no, that's me. That I let's move on.
Yeah, so the pilgrims are riding away, and she uses some magic, to whisper words directly to him, carried along the wind. And she just says to him, a little rhyming couplet. Oh, master, you, a living human, passed by and refused to free. What Buddha or scriptures could such blindness hope to see? Actually, I say these are rhyming. I actually don't know if they're rhyming. These kind of ones are rhyming in the original Chinese. I don't know really anything about Chinese poetry. They may not rhyme in the original, but when possible, Anthony Yu tries to make them rhyme when he can in
He likes a
English.
rhyme.
Yeah. But yeah, he this makes him this makes him decide to stop and go back and save her. I'm unclear if like the words are magically also like magically persuasive as well, or if it's the magic is just that she can whisper and he can hear it far away. But yeah, he decides to go back and save her, and Wukong says, master, when you want to do good, there's no drug in the world that can cure you. Which
Again,
is
that's pretty bang to rights.
I like that turn of phrase. Yeah. And he just goes on like, think of all the monsters that you run into and the amount of time amount of times I had to rescue you. Do you really want to go back and do this?
Like, I can't stop you, but please reconsider.
Tripitaka insists on it, so Wukong is like, fine, but you are taking responsibility for this.
Don't come running to me with a broken leg.
And Wukong won't go back with them to untie her, so Tripitaka goes back with Baji to free her. When they bring her back to the group, which happens without incident, Wukong starts being like, I don't know, he's like normal like teasing he does about shit, I guess. He starts going, I was like, oh, if we're bringing her with us, we're going to be accused of anyone who sees this. We're going to think we're being dodgy. They're going to accuse us of kidnapping or fornication, or something like that. We're going to get in trouble for this now. And then he's like, also. She's not going to be able to keep up with us walking. She better like ride on the horse with you, which Tripitaka is just like too flustered to even consider.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to play with the Tong monk's emotions, it's good to go either for religious morality or this guy is so lawful good and so depressed that he told a ghost that this couldn't happen because murder is illegal. So,
And also, he's just
you
like,
know,
he's never had to interact with women. And also, he gets
that's
very flustered about
That's
it. Yeah, so eventually, Tripitaka, he refuses to ride next to, like ride w on the horse with her. So,
Well, he'd fall off.
yeah, probably. Wukong is like, says Baji can carry her, but eventually Tripitaka just decides to give her the horse, and he says he'll actually walk for a bit.
Yeah, develop those calf muscles. See what
Yeah.
your servants have been putting up with for like 5 years at this point.
Yeah. So, a while down the road, they run into a monastery, and Tripitaka tells the rest of them to wait outside while he goes in to, ask for lodging for the night. But he finds the place totally empty and run down. Walls are collapsing. Everything is overgrown. The bell tower has collapsed, and the bell is just sitting on the ground, rusted green on the bottom and weathered white on the top from rain.
Am I about to take off sectarianism on my Journey of the Monkey King bingo card?
No, this is a Buddhist temple.
Okay, it wasn't destroyed by Taoists.
We'll get to why it's like this in a second. So he loudly starts lamenting the state of the temple, but he eventually finds it's not fully abandoned. A temple worker overhears him and goes to investigate, and the worker is half afraid that Tripitaka is some sort of demon. And he throws a brick at the bell to see what happens. And what happens is it scares the shit out of Tripitaka, who falls over, gets up, tries to run away, and falls over again.
Gallant.
Yeah. So your man realizes Tripitaka is definitely not any kind of threat and goes over to talk to him. But now Tripitaka thinks that that guy might be a monster.
There's a lot of it going around, to be
Yeah.
fair.
But yeah, they eventually calm down. They introduce themselves to each other. The worker brings Tripitaka into the temple, where it's actually pretty well maintained. It turns out there's a lot of bandits in the area, and they used to come in, use the monastery as shelter, and then just kind of wreck the place. And the monks couldn't fight them off, and they're kind of out in the middle, and they're out in the sticks. But they were eventually able to, basically get funding to build a new monastery in the back, and just kind of left the old one out front to rot and be used by whoever. They kind of have a distraction monastery in the front.
A decoy monastery.
Yeah, pretty much. Tripitaka is introduced to the abbot, and we get a description of how handsome Tripitaka is. There's some pretty like, unrealistic beauty standards that are being held to here. Tripitaka is described as broad forehead and a flat top, shoulder length ears, and hands that reach beyond the knees. This is like imagery that's associated with like Buddha and like Buddhist saints and stuff.
Shoulder length ears.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about Buddha with long ears. I don't know. I this is one of the things that I don't really have know much of the cultural context around, other than it's a thing.
Yeah, when Tripitaka is hot, we can just accept this.
But yeah,
I'm really enjoying, not to digress again too much, but I'm really enjoying how the Zoom automatic captions interpret Tripitaka as a different word every time. Right above, it was listed as chirpy tacos.
no, I didn't have the Zoom thing open. I have my notes up instead, so I haven't been seeing them.
Yeah. Chirpy tacos is my favorite one, though.
Chirpy tacos is, I'm not sure. That sound tasty or not? I'm unsure.
It sounds cheerful.
But yeah, Tripitaka tells this guy about the pilgrimage, and the abbot accuses him of lying. He's just like, come on, people don't become priests for noble reasons. It's because our families are just fucking poor and give us away because they can't afford to raise us. A good Buddhist should never lie, so you shouldn't say you're a good Buddhist.
No true Buddhist.
No good Buddhist would ever lie by saying they're a good Buddhist.
In fairness, for many generations in our country, the priesthood was where you just put the kid who was slightly odd.
I definitely feel in a previous generation I would have ended up being a priest, and that's not a nice thought.
I would have ended up wherever they put mad nuns. So we did like to. Oh, okay, let's not get too dark. Moving swiftly on from our dark history of random incarceration.
Oh, God, love Ireland. But yeah, Tripitaka insists he's telling the truth, but the abbot is like, you couldn't have come here all the way from China. You look way too soft.
Well, he was on a horse. Everyone else was walking. Take a look at his calves.
Yeah, but Tripitaka is like, ah, oh, okay, you're right, but my disciples, they're well ard. And then the abbot is like, oh wait, you left people outside the gate? What the fuck? Get them in here. They're not safe out there.
He's got a point, but I think the bandits are the ones that need to worry with the one man monkey army just
Yeah,
kind of
but he doesn't know
strolling around.
that.
I mean, he's not in this man's eyes, he's not beating the not a good Buddhist allegations.
But yeah, they send two monks to go out to get them, and the monks come back in is like, there's just a pile of monsters outside. Tripitaka has to assure them that the monsters are his disciples and they're fine, don't worry about it. And eventually they let everyone come in. And they give them a nice welcome and a vegetarian meal. And there's no trouble from the monster lady yet. But you'll have to listen to the next episodes to find out what happens with that. Or read the book, I guess. Or listen to like one of several other podcasts about this book or whatever. I don't know. I don't know why I'm like advertising, why I'm saying not to listen to this podcast. Continue to
I
listen
mean,
to this podcast.
if you listen to our podcast, you get educated both on the book and on seeking diagnoses for your neurodivergence, if that's a thing that you have. Person who listens to the podcast about Ming Dynasty novels.
Everyone who listens to this is normal.
Yep.
If you listen to this, you are normal. You can take that to your doctor.
Yep. We diagnose you as neurotypical. Things in show notes.
Thank you for listening. We have a Patreon, etc., etc., etc.
If you want to buy either of us new spines, you can donate there.
Oh, I'd love a fucking cybernetic spine.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah, this is fun. I forgot how fun it actually is to record these, even though it does take a lot of energy.
Yeah. Is fun activity. I like it 'cause I for many years just produced everything as, believe it or not, the person who was least bad at admin. So this is I get to turn up and have story time and be a clown. You know, you are the research and editing intense one, and I appreciate you lots.
Okay, I think that's it.
Bye. Bye.